Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
It's known as one of the most spectacular collapses in modern financial history.
So it's March 2021. It's in the middle of the COVID pandemic, and major stocks in seemingly unrelated companies are dropping precipitously and for no apparent reason.
The FT's legal correspondent, Joe Miller, says this all begins with the media company ViacomCBS.
And no one watching the market and seeing these really sharp moves understands why it's happening. It's all a great mystery.
And then, like dominoes, more firms' shares start tanking. Companies like Discovery, Tencent, and Baidu.
Tens of billions of dollars worth of market value is being wiped off these companies, and there didn't seem to be any unifying theory as to why these stocks would all be cratering at the same time.
And it's not just publicly traded companies. Within weeks, major investment banks around the world are also thrown into crisis mode. Everyone's trying to figure out who or what caused this level of chaos.
For a while, it wasn't clear whether this was just an isolated event. It wasn't clear who was behind it. It wasn't clear if this would spread to other stocks, to other sectors, to other countries even. There are not supposed to be investments that are so large in individual companies that they can be unwound within seconds. This is not supposed to happen.
It takes some time for a clearer picture to emerge, but when it does,
anyone who is not close to Wall Street or working on a trading desk is really shocked by the outcome and by the explanation for what is ultimately behind all of this. It really comes down to one man and one man that almost nobody had heard of.
One man behind tens of billions of dollars in losses. It seems like there has to be some kind of mastermind behind this.
And indeed, there was a mastermind behind it. But the big question is, was he a criminal?
I'm Michaela Tendera from the Financial Times. In 2021, a family office called Archegos Capital Management imploded in dramatic fashion. This week, a criminal trial for the office's founder begins in New York. Today on Behind the Money, we're going into how this implosion happened. And we're taking a closer look inside the novel case that U.S. federal prosecutors plan to pursue in court. On Wall Street, there are certain investors that are known as whales.
If they were to make a move, it would send ripples throughout the whole market in the same way that a whale or a large fish is able to create literally waves and ripples in the ocean because of its size.
Typically, though, when someone talks about a whale, they're referring to institutional investors or large hedge funds. But this meltdown in 2021 featured a different kind of whale.
The whale, it turned out, was a guy called Bill Wong and his family office called Archegos. And Bill Wong was a name that I certainly wasn't familiar with, other than a small cadre of Wall Street traders and hedge fund people. He was anonymous to the rest of the world.
Now, to understand exactly how this little-known investor becomes the whale, we need to go back a few decades, back to when Bill Wong begins his career in finance. Early on, Wang joins a prestigious firm called Tiger Global Management, where he works under Julian Robertson, one of the most influential members of the hedge fund industry. And after some time there, Wang decides to start his own hedge fund. It's called Tiger Asia. But things don't go so well.
It is essentially charged with fraud by the Department of Justice. It pleads guilty to fraud. And it is also charged with insider trading by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. And it settles with the SEC, although it doesn't admit guilt to any of those allegations. But nonetheless, Bill Wang is forced to shutter Tiger Asia, to plead guilty to the criminal charges, to settle civil charges, and the whole thing seems to have ended in disaster.
That all plays out in 2012, and you'd think that that would spell the end for an aspiring hedge fund titan. But it doesn't stop Wang.
His rebirth is almost instantaneous. He takes what money he has left from Tiger Asia and he starts a family office, and this will become important later, called Archegos. And essentially, the difference between a hedge fund and a family office is he's saying, I'm only investing my own money and I'm not taking money from external clients. And that offers him a level of secrecy that a hedge fund would not.
That's because the SEC tends to focus their regulatory scrutiny on firms that are investing other people's money. With family offices, no external investors means fewer reporting requirements.
So he takes these few $100 million and he starts Archegos, and for a few years, no one hears of him.
Archegos and Wang chug along like this, more small fish than whale for several years. But then between 2020 and 2021, something changes. The firm's assets under management swell dramatically from about $1.5 billion to more than $30 billion.
This guy who, you know, was a relative minnow on Wall Street, it turns out, has amassed enormous positions in public companies. And when I say enormous, you know, $35 billion, much, much larger than anyone thought he could afford. And the way he's done this, it turns out, is by using a mechanism called swaps, equity swaps.
Equity swaps. These are key to what turns Archegos from Wall Street minnow to Wall Street whale.
So essentially, a swap is a way of making a bet with a bank where the bank uses its money to buy shares for you for a fee. And then if those shares go up, you reap all the benefits. You get the appreciation, you get the dividends. And if it goes down, of course, you owe money to the bank.
So let's look at a hypothetical example. Let's say that Bill Wang wants to buy $500 million worth of stock in Baidu, but he only has $100 million in cash on hand. So to get the $500 million worth of stock that he wants, he goes to a bank and asks them to lend him the money to buy a swap. For a fee, the bank says, okay, sure thing.
And they buy that underlying stock then and hold that stock. When it goes up, they give Bill Wang the appreciation, the dividends. He gets to go home happy.
So when you're buying a swap, you're essentially betting that the market is only going to go up?
If you go long, you can get short swaps as well. But in this case, yes, absolutely. Bill Wang was saying, I would like to buy much more of this stock than I can afford. Could you lend me the money for a fee for me to buy billions worth of, say, Viacom CBS? And I believe it's going to go up. And when it goes up, I will make bank.
So there's, you know, no risk there at all, right?
Well, these are incredibly risky trades, which is why the bank charges a hefty fee.
So Archegos goes to different banks and buys swaps that allow the firm to acquire stakes in companies like Viacom CBS, Tencent, and Discovery. And these stakes that the firm builds up are quite large.
They were approximately 30, 40, even 50% of the freely available shares in some companies.
Now, this is the big sticking point. And it's something that you'll want to pay attention to because it's important for later on. Here's the thing. To the general public, no one knew that it was Archegos behind all these large positions.
If you and I go and buy stocks in a public company, as soon as we buy more than 5% worth, then we must disclose that. And anyone can go and see who the top shareholders of any given company are above a 5% threshold.
An exception to that rule is when you're buying swaps.
Theoretically, when, say, Bill Wong is buying Tencent via swaps, he's not buying the shares. The bank is buying the shares. And so all you would see if you looked at the list of Tencent's largest shareholders would be a series of banks. You wouldn't know who is behind that. And you wouldn't know that actually behind all of those banks is the same customer.
So let's say you're thinking about buying stock in Tencent. You see the stock going up and think, oh, people are really interested in this stock. I should invest too.
And it turns out it's really just one guy pumping up stocks through a variety of financial institutions in as covert a manner as he can manage.
Now, like I mentioned earlier, these swaps work well when a company's share price is going up and up and up. But if the price is falling, well, that's a different story. This all comes to a head in March 2021 with Viacom CBS. The company puts out a statement saying it plans to raise money. Joe says it's in an effort to compete with some of the streaming businesses like Netflix.
And in itself, this is a fairly normal par for the course announcement, but it sends the shares down sharply.
And this creates a problem for Archegos because the firm's banks that they'd purchased these swaps through start to call.
The bank is left with a deficit, and it goes knocking on Bill Wong's door and says, you need to put up that difference. That's known as a margin call, essentially saying you've got to fill the gap between what the share was worth at the beginning of trading and what it's worth now, and you've got to do that quickly.
This is a big issue for Archegos and Bill Wong.
He's got all these different bets going with different banks. He doesn't necessarily have the cash on hand to fill these gaps. So what he has to then do is unwind other positions or borrow money from other banks in order to fill these holes. And a mad scramble starts happening.
So Wong's selling off positions in one company to pay for the gaps in another. But at the same time, the banks that lent to him are also trying to cover their backs in case Wong can't pull through.
And that's how you get this massive fire sale, because Bill Wong is selling some of his stock in order to be able to meet the margin call. The banks are scrambling to sell some of the stock they hold on his behalf in order to limit their losses. And tens of billions of dollars worth of stock is being dumped as fast as possible by some of the largest financial institutions on earth.
Archegos bought up such large positions in all these companies on the U.S. stock market, quietly becoming one of the biggest whales on Wall Street. And so when these seemingly unrelated companies see their stocks fall dramatically in March 2021, the ripples are far-reaching.
The fallout from last week's Archegos margin call incident continues to widen.
You have the companies, the individual companies, whose share prices are decimated, often more, through an external event. They had no idea that the price of their stock had been essentially artificially inflated. Through no fault of their own, their companies are worth billions of dollars less than they had been before all of this happened.
That this whole thing is racking up tremendous losses. We're talking billions of dollars.
How does a firm amass such big positions synthetically?
But in even hotter water than the companies are the banks that lent to Wong.
The bigger fallout is among the banks themselves, who collectively take a more than $10 billion hit from essentially lending to Bill Wong. And the most spectacular hit is Credit Suisse, which loses well in excess of $5 billion. Nomura, the Japanese bank, reports a $3 billion hit. And then you have a bunch of banks have smaller exposures, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo. So this really sort of spreads across Wall Street and heads actually do roll.
And all this chaos leaves Wong standing right in the crosshairs of the law. In April 2022, U.S. authorities arrest Wong.
Good morning. My name is Damian Williams, and I'm the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York. Today, we unseal racketeering, conspiracy, securities fraud, wire fraud, and market manipulation charges against Bill Wong, the founder of Archegos Capital Management, for perpetrating a massive fraud and market manipulation scheme that nearly jeopardized our financial system.
They charge Bill Wong with market manipulation and with bank fraud, among other charges. And what they are essentially saying is that because Bill Wong bought all of these positions secretly at individual banks, what he did was illegal. That even though none of these purchases in themselves were fraudulent, he did all of these transactions with one aim in mind, which was to pump these stocks, to get them artificially high, and this was, in effect, market manipulation. And what they were essentially saying was, Bill Wong is quite clever. He found a series of legal techniques and he strung them together in order to do a crime, and we're charging him with that.
So the prosecutor's charges rest on the idea that Wong's series of legal trades, when put together, become illegal. After the break, we'll examine how those accusations might stand up in court.
In a new series of Tectonic from the Financial Times, we go to the front lines of China's rise as a tech superpower. From the factories of Shenzhen, China's Silicon Valley, to Nigeria, where Chinese phones dominate.
Oppo, Vivo.
And Germany, where Chinese electric vehicles may overtake the big car makers. Subscribe to Tectonic wherever you get your podcasts.
Jury selection for Bill Wong's trial begins today in New York. Federal prosecutors allege that Wong made a series of trades that, on their own, are completely lawful. But when you string them all together, they become unlawful. Joe tells me that Wong's lawyers see it differently, and they have a few arguments for that. First off, they completely disagree with the idea that Wong's legal trades turn illegal when put together.
Bill Wong's lawyers have said time and time again, hey, these are a series of entirely lawful trades. Bill Wong did not do anything that was explicitly criminal. At best, he identified a loophole, and no one should go to prison for identifying a loophole. They say the laws were drafted like this. The reporting requirements of a family office were lower. He was not required to report his positions that he had bought via swaps. And he just liked these stocks. And there is nothing illegal with liking certain stocks. They say, you know, why is this any different from any investor out there with an enormous amount of capital who goes out and buys a substantial amount of a certain company's stock? And the fact that he didn't need to tell the world about it is neither here nor there. Nothing illegal about that.
The second part of their argument is this.
Look, there is no so-called pump and dump scheme here. You didn't see Bill Wong manipulate the price and then walk off with a load of money to the detriment of other investors. On the contrary, when everything went south, his business went south, and he lost billions. So where's the scheme here?
Wong's lawyers also put blame on the banks. They argue that the banks didn't do their own due diligence.
They lent Bill Wong more money than they should have. They were the ones who were over-leveraged. So why is Bill Wong on trial when really all he did was exploit some naivety and some recklessness on Wall Street?
Meanwhile, Joe tells me that the prosecutor's argument that a string of lawful acts put together becomes a crime has little precedent.
This is a somewhat untested area of law and a quite novel and unique theory of what constitutes market manipulation. But there really isn't any solid case law out there that says, hey, it's definitely true that you can take a series of lawful acts and call it manipulation.
And then there's the question of Wong's motive, or lack thereof.
With Bill Wong, what the government is missing is that clean story, that clean narrative. They cannot and have not been able to point to why Bill Wong did this. And it's not like they have to, because all they really have to prove is intent to defraud. They don't have to explain why. But you have 12 ordinary men and women on the jury, and like you and me, they will be curious. They will be seeing this guy with his slick back silver hair in the dock, and they'll be thinking, if he did all this, why did he do it? Give me the story. Give me the narrative. Give me the Netflix dramatization of this. None of this makes sense. So this is a far, far more difficult case for prosecutors to try.
So, Joe, this saga with Archegos and Bill Wong, I mean, no matter how the criminal trial goes, this brings up a lot of questions about the regulatory environment that allowed this to happen. Have there been any changes to the system that Archegos was operating in? I mean, I'm thinking about swaps or regulations around family offices. Any changes there?
It did prompt some change in Washington. The SEC has since tightened the reporting requirements for swaps. But in other respects, there have been attempts to change the rules when it comes to family offices, for example, that have gone nowhere. So it's a bit of a mixed bag.
Depending on how the trial goes, do you see more regulation coming? And I'm specifically wondering here, you know, we've been talking about the banks' roles in this.
Well, the banks have sort of done this themselves by either internally or externally lambasting their due diligence and saying that they're going to put greater controls in place and that they would make sure not to lend this much money to someone with such a patchy track record again. If he's convicted, you know, you may see politicians saying, well, the rules are sufficient. We don't need any more. If the government isn't able to pin this on him, perhaps we will see a strengthening of things like the family office rule.
So what will it mean if Bill Wong is found guilty?
Well, firstly, it'll be a vindication for the office of the Southern District of New York. There were questions about whether the charges were robust enough, and a New York jury bought them and decided that this is within the scope of what prosecutors can bring against a trader. So in that respect, it would be a big vindication. It would also send a signal to the rest of Wall Street that, look, just because you are engaging in lawful activities, if the government can string together a theory of market manipulation, you should be concerned, because not only can they come after you, but they can win a conviction.
So on the flip side, what would it mean if Bill Wong is found not guilty?
If he's found not guilty, I think it will constrain prosecutors going forward when coming up with similar theories of securities fraud and market manipulation, in that they may think twice before bringing a case that's similar to Bill Wong's, and they may need more evidence of someone's manipulative intent before they devote enormous resources in one of the biggest prosecutorial teams in the land to going after someone.
Behind the Money is hosted by me, Michaela Tendera. Safiya Ahmed is our producer. Topher Forges is our executive producer. Sound design and mixing by Sam Giovinco. Our contributing producer is Max Johnston from Goat Rodeo. Special thanks to Jessica Dye. Cheryl Brumley is the global head of audio. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.